welcome to the Thursday edition of the Soccer Central podcast. I'm John Molinaro, senior soccer reporter for Sportsnet. No James Sharman today as he's away on assignment, so you're stuck with me today, unfortunately. Sunday features a huge game in Major League Soccer with Toronto FC visiting the Montreal Impact at Stade Saputo, a match with big implications for both sides. Later in the show, we'll be talking to Nick Sabetti, a Montreal-based writer and Sportsnet.ca contributor, to get his take on this match from the Impact perspective. But for right now, I'm happy to welcome back to the show longtime friend Laura Armstrong, TFC beat reporter and host of the I'll Have Another podcast for the Toronto Star, for her thoughts on Sunday's big contest. Laura, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Good. So TFC comes into this one on the back of a four-game winless skid with one loss, and they only have one win and their last five matches overall. How do you think the club is trending at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very bad when you put it like that. I mean, considering they're the third place team in the Eastern Conference, but they certainly haven't made the most of what we thought at the beginning of the season was going to be a sort of not easy, but maybe more, just a better run for the end of the schedule. So they really haven't made the most of it. I think that this international break that they've been on for the last 2 weeks is probably a really good thing. I think that we'll see Sebastian Giovinco come back on Sunday, and that will be a big boost. And so I think that, you know, they haven't been doing very well recently. I think they know that. And I think that going into Montreal, even though it's a very difficult game, and I'm not sure that I can say that I expect them to get a result, I do think that they'll put in a good performance and the last two games of the season will be positive going into their first home game.
You talked about that four-game stretch there, and they only took 3 out of 12 points from home. Fair to say that they squandered the opportunity, or is that too harsh?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that you looked at the last homestand that they had before the homestand in September, and they got 12 points from 4 games. I think that anybody going into that 4-game stretch within the club, all the players and the coaches, they would have expected to get more than 3 points. When you're playing at home in MLS, you have to take advantage of that, and they certainly didn't. Obviously, there were going to be challenges. I mean, you look at the schedule, New York Red Bulls, it wasn't an easy game. Philadelphia Union wasn't an easy game necessarily, but and they were without Giovinco, and there was a couple suspensions at that point. But I think that a team that is sitting third place in Eastern Conference at the beginning of that homestand, they'd been sort of close to the top of the league or maybe in first going into it. They have to be disappointed with only getting 3 points out of 12 possible. So I think that squandered is fair to say. I think that everybody at the club recognizes that. And I certainly think that, you know, they could have definitely been in a different position now going into these final two games where they're sort of relying on other results to go their way to finish in the top two. Had they performed better during the 4-game homestand, then they probably would have had this in their own hands.
But putting aside only taking 3 points from out of 12, how did you think they performed overall during that 4-game run?
I thought they performed okay. I thought that the games were, you know, there are a couple of defensive mistakes that were poor, but had they been putting their shots away, they wouldn't have even had to blink an eye at those defensive errors. I think that was the big problem that we pinpointed, or you can pinpoint from that 4-game period, is the fact that they just didn't manage to get good enough opportunities. They had a lot of opportunities. We were seeing them come away with 15, 16, 17 shots during a game, but they were not putting them on net. And you can't score a goal without putting a shot on net.
Right. It looks like Sebastian Giovinco will be available to play in Montreal. If he does, it'll only mark the 10th time that all 3 of Toronto FC's designated players will be in the starting lineup at the same time. How do you account for the team's relatively strong campaign, even though they haven't had Seba and Michael Bradley and Josie Altidore together very much?
I think that you have to give credit to the club for the players that they brought in the transfer window last winter. Drew Moore, Clint Irwin, they really shored up the defense, and that has given them the opportunity to, as they've been saying all season, be comfortable winning 1-0, which is not something the team was comfortable with last year. The PSC's taken something of a risk by depending so or sort of structuring their team around these three big name designated players. But I think they missed last year was the fact that the whole team depended on that, and they needed those three players to be on the field to be successful. I think this season they've stepped away from that with the likes of Moore, Betashore, Irwin, and also the fact that they've developed some young players. You've got Jay Chapman, who's come in, who's played well. They've got Marky Delgado, who's had some strong performances. Jordan Hamilton did well at the starting of the season. So I think that they're players that you might characterize as bit players or role players. They've really stepped up, and I think that has allowed TFC to be successful, despite the fact that their designated players have sort of been on and off this season.
Right. Greg Vanney appears to be going with Clint Irwin over Alex Bono in goal for the rest of the regular season in the playoffs. Good decision. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I never really... Alex Bono, I give him all the credit in the world. He played very, very well. He was another player who, you know, when TFC needed him, he stepped in. He was a linchpin in this team. And the defense trusted him, which is a big thing for a player that, you know, stepped in mid-June and played his first MLS game. But I think that the keeper shouldn't lose his number one spot because of injury. If Clint Irwin had come back and he hadn't played well and Bono had been, you know, on a roll, then, yeah, sure, make that change. But I think the team needs Clint at the back just to provide some leadership and some experience. And as I said, I don't think that he should have lost his starting spot just because he got injured, because that really, he had nothing, no control over that.
Right, no, it's a good point. Looking ahead to Sunday, is there an individual matchup that you're especially looking forward to watching or think that's going to be key to this Derby game?
I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how TFC lines up against Piatti. He's obviously been playing very well recently. And, you know, I know that it's, like, annoying to say this, but I'm interested to see what they do with Drogba. He has sort of... They played well against him in Montreal in April when they won 2-0, but he's been known to cause some trouble back there. I think that, you know, with Drew Moore defending him, things will be better, but there have been some moments where there's been some shaky moments at the back with Eric Zavaleta and Nick Hagelin recently, so I think if they bring Drogba in there might be a little bit of chaos or concern that could be interesting. It could be interesting to see how that matches up. Whether or not he'll play, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see.
Will Johnson still carrying a bit of an injury, and he could miss his second straight game for Toronto. How big of a loss is that for the Reds if he can't play on Sunday, do you think?
I think that they've done. He hasn't been playing for the last couple of games. I think he's done well. I think they benefit from the fact that Cooper's in. And he's been playing very well recently, and I will be excited to see him play with Javinko personally. But he brings an added grit to the team that I think TFC will miss against Montreal. He's just sort of got that. He's good in a frenetic environment, and I think that TFC could miss that, because I do expect that it will be a very sort of playoff-like atmosphere in Montreal, and all of the supporters will not be cheering for TFC. So I would expect that, you know, Will's fight and his ability to be calm but at the same time bring that grit, I think that TFC could miss that in the midfield on Sunday.
How vital is this game on Sunday for TFC? Not just in terms of, you know, obviously they're trying to catch both New York clubs and claim one of the top two playoff spots in the East, but more so for just trying to build some momentum going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that this game is more vital for TFC in terms of building momentum than it is in terms of finishing top two. I mean, at this point, they're going to have to, obviously they want to get 6 points. They want to do as well as they can for the last two games and make it as hard as possible for New York Red Bulls in New York City. I think that TFC should be expected, though, to win a home game, whether or not it's the first leg of the knockout round or the first of the two-leg series.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's very important that they get a good performance in. I mean, it's going to be hard. It's a hard environment to travel to. They're not necessarily great in Montreal in October. So if they could exercise those demons, that would be great. But I think that it will be crucial for them to have a good game, especially after the last four haven't been so great. Now, I think they'll get that in the final game of the season, the following Sunday against Chicago, so that they should have some momentum. But I think it will give them a much bigger boost if they've had two good games going into the playoffs.
Mm. Well, what makes this such a great rivalry for you?
It's not just that it's, you know, we were talking at training yesterday with Clint Irwin about how these rivalries, the Toronto-Montreal rivalry, they transcend sport.
Right.
It's not just soccer, it's hockey, you know, and the Ottawa-Montreal-Toronto triangle sort of, it's all the same rivalry. So I just think that's great. And I think that now that TFC and Montreal both have things to play for, Montreal still trying to clinch a playoff berth. TFC is trying to get a home, finish top two. So there's a lot to play for, and there's nothing better than playing a rivalry game when there's something, you know, to play for.
Right, and it's, I mean, Stade Saputo, as great as BMO Field is, Stade Saputo is a pretty cool place to watch a stadium too, because the crowd is right on top of the pitch. So,
oh yeah,
it's a great atmosphere, isn't it?
You can go like wherever you want there. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, should be good. Are you coming to Montreal or no?
I don't think so, but I will be watching from home.
So more smoke meat for Kurt Larson and I. With you not there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would be eating the poutine, to be honest.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well,
you'll have some for me.
So more poutine for Kurt and I. You can read all of Laura Armstrong's fine work on TFC at the Toronto Star newspaper and website, where you can also listen to the All Have Another podcast, and you should also follow her on Twitter at Laura Army. Laura, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Joining us now on the line from Montreal is Nick Cipetti, SportingNews.com writer and regular contributor for Sportsnet.ca, to give us the impact perspective on Sunday's game. Nick, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, John.
Well, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. I know the game is sold out on Sunday at Stade Saputo. This is a huge contest between two rivals, especially with the Impact trying to nail down one of the final two playoff spots in the East. But as we all know, hockey has started up again, and a lot of the Montreal media's attention is focused on the Canadiens. So I'm curious, how much buzz is there in the city for Sunday's MLS match?
Yeah, you're right, and probably less than there may have been, say, a few weeks ago. I've already noticed some sort of regular sort of journalists or reporters that come and cover the Impact are sort of filling in and doing some hockey stories. But yeah, I still think it's going to be a pretty big game, though. It's on Sunday, and it's in the afternoon, and it's still a Montreal versus Toronto game, one that has obviously playoff repercussions, and it's going to be sold out. So, no, I think there's still some pretty good buzz for this game.
The Impact currently sit fourth in the East with 44 points, with DC United, New England Revolution, and Columbus Crew all within reach of them, with two games remaining left in the regular season. How confident are you that Montreal can clinch a playoff spot or even claim a top four spot, thus securing a home playoff date?
Well, I mean, I think it's so difficult to predict at this point where they're going to end up. I mean, they are 5 points clear of the Ring Revolution, but, I mean, they still have some work to do. I mean, they haven't sealed the playoff spot yet. Should they, say, lose or not win against should they not beat Toronto on the weekend and then New England beat Chicago on the road, which is sort of doable for them, then that last game against New England becomes one where if they don't get a result, they may be out of the playoffs. So, I mean, there's still some work to be done. And given the way this team has played this year, I mean, they put in a few good results and then they sort of completely crumble in the following game. So they've been so difficult to predict. They've been very up and down. And so, although they are 5 points clear, I would say that there's, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of them not making the playoffs and say losing on Saturday, despite the fact that they're coming off, two wins in a row. I mean, they've been very, very sort of erratic, very difficult to predict.
Well, and why is that, Nick? What's to account for the impact sort of, lack of not stability, but lack of consistency, do you think?
Well, I mean, they have quality. I mean, certainly going into the season, there was a great deal of expectation because of how well they did at the end of last season, of Drogba arriving and scoring a goal a game. But the different factors, I mean, Drogba hasn't been the same. I mean, he's been okay, but not nearly as dominant as he was when he first arrived. Players like, Laurent Simon, who was Defender of the Year last year, has also, made a lot of mistakes, hasn't been really at his best. Just overall, a lot of fragility in midfield. It's an older team, too, so, you could see in the last couple games, last few weeks, a lot of tired legs. But just in general, just a lot of... a lot of fragility. I think they just also, in terms of assessing themselves going into season, I think they thought that they could be a team that could really contend for maybe MLS Cup, could maybe go all the way. But there's, they haven't been nearly as dominant. So maybe in a sense, there's been a bit of a surprise as to say that they haven't been as good as they thought they would be. So. I mean, different things, but certainly there's a lot of sort of little problems in the team and players not performing as we thought they would. So it'll be interesting to see in these next few weeks. I mean, obviously, if Drogba starts to perform, or Laurent Simon, who's looked better, and he looked good in that recent friendly of Belgium. So if these players can step up to the plate and start playing more at their best, then you never know what this impact team could do. But from what we've seen so far this year, I don't see it, but at this point, you never know.
You mentioned Drogba there, and I have to ask, do you think they're a better team when he isn't in the lineup? Because I've looked it up, and they actually have a better record when he's not in the starting 11. Like, so what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, the results would certainly suggest as much. I mean, we just saw, even in the last two wins, I mean, Drogba didn't play in those. He came on in the first game against San Jose off the bench in the last 25 minutes or so. He's been a very different player from the one, that showed up here last year and scored a goal every game. And I think a lot of that probably has to do, well, he's obviously 38, but that doesn't help. But he came in and he didn't have a preseason. I mean, there was the whole preseason with him maybe going back to Chelsea as assistant coach and retiring early. In the end, it didn't happen, but he didn't have a preseason. So physically, you could see that he's really lost a step compared to last year. And then, when he's on the field, sometimes there's this sort of the impact. A lot of the times, I think, try to look for him in moments when they should just maybe keep the ball. They try and be a bit complicated and a little bit too, say, ambitious in what they try to do. So all those things. And I think, there's games where he just hasn't been very good. I mean, that's also a question. And I expect Drogba is going to start on Saturday against Toronto FC. He's got 2 weeks off, so he should be fresh. But, one could argue that, Matteo Mancosu in this moment, who's been either scoring or assisting on a goal every game at this point that since he's arrived in, mid-season signing, that he may be the better option right now. But so that's makes for a sort of difficult scenario for Mauro Biello, the coach, at this moment.
Ignazio Piatti is having an MVP-caliber type campaign with 15 goals and 6 assists. What do you think has been the key to his success this season?
Well, I think he mentioned in a fairly recent interview that he started the season really well. He was scoring goals almost every game, and that just gave him the confidence to push on and say, hey, I could really score in this league. I mean, the one thing that's been impressive for me is that he might not be the MVP this year, but one of the things in terms of his numbers that's really impressive is the fact that he has to do so much defensive work. I mean, he's not a striker. He's a winger, and you can see a lot of the games, or even, for example, the last game against Orlando, where he's basically playing as a second fullback almost and helping out at the back and so on. So that's one of the things that's kind of not been mentioned, and one of the things that makes his numbers all the more exceptional is that, he's often starting from a very deep position. I mean, he's from out wide or very deep in his end after, helping his team defend, helping them in transition. So the fact that, by the time, he doesn't get to the box or get to those dangerous areas as much as, say, some of the other top scorers in the league do. So he's had a very impressive season. A bit streaky at times, but still a very impressive season.
What's been your impression of Harry Shipp this season? Because, at the beginning of the campaign, I was quite impressed with the way that he was sort of linking up and forming what I thought was a pretty effective relationship with Piatti. But I don't know, it just seems as the season has gone on, he's rather quiet. What's been your sort of evaluation of him?
Yeah, I agree. In the sense of the first four or five games, he was very good, starting
right.
every game, and they really expected him to play that number 10 role behind Drogba. But as the season went on, he sort of lost his way. There's also been the factor of, having to, he left his hometown, Chicago, and having to adapt and acclimate to a new place, also a new language as well. And I think that's been very difficult for him. But, I think in the beginning, the impact expected him to be that number 10, but he doesn't maybe necessarily have those qualities to play him behind the striker, and the impact of starting to use him a little deeper in midfield, in a kind of deeper position. But I think they're still kind of looking for an ideal role for him. But I think that's one of the things where the impact in terms of why they sort of haven't achieved it in the way that they hoped they would is that, the player signings that they've made in the offseason, they weren't especially aggressive in the offseason in terms of making adjustments to the team. But I think they expected a lot more from Harry Shipp, and, he hasn't had that sort of impact that they hoped he would. But, it's been a sort of mysterious one, maybe. I think certainly the fact of him moving to a new city really for the first time, away from friends, family, and all that. I mean, I think there's been a lot of off-field problems and difficulties, so that certainly hasn't helped in his sort of acclimation on the field there.
Right. Montreal comes into this game having won two in a row, and that after they went winless in their previous four. Did the bye week help or hurt them, do you think?
I think it helps them because as much as they came off two wins, they weren't necessarily pretty in such the way that they came. They just barely got those wins. And I think that after that week, and especially these last few weeks, I think you sense that there was a lot of tired legs in this team, a lot of players that could really use this break. And I think Malby alluded to that, say in training recently, say, a lot of the players, also some injuries, a few injuries, players dealing with different things. So, my sense is that this break has done them a lot of good. But again, it's at this point, it's difficult to predict what impact side is going to turn up on Sunday. But I think with these players, and it's just, like I said, it's a much older roster. I think they have the oldest roster in MLS at the moment. So the break certainly, I think, will have done them some good.
How do these two teams match up on Sunday, do you think, Nick?
The Impact did beat them the last time around, but I think Toronto FC are on the whole a better side, especially with Giovinco back in the lineup. He looks like he's going to start, or at least play a significant part. So, and I think that I like Toronto's chances in this game. Whereas, the Impact playing at home, they're expected to go out and win, but that against a team, against Charles C. team that I think has sort of a better side to them, that, they're going to have to open up, and I think that's going to be a bit problematic for them. It's going to be a game where I think the Impact are going to have to be careful not to keep things closed and be patient. We're not going to see a sort of a typical home performance where they try and sort of throw everybody forward. I think it's going to be a lot more cautious because I think they recognize that even though they did win that last game against Toronto, I think they recognize that the Toronto C side is a stronger team than theirs. So I think I think we're going to see a lot of respect from them for this TFC side that's going to be hungry to get a result in this one after some disappointing results.
Good stuff, Nick. Listen, check out Nick Sabetti's work on the Montreal Impact at sportsnet.ca and sportingnews.com. Nick, thanks so much for joining us as always. We really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Talk soon.
That's it. Another edition of the Soccer Central podcast is in the books. I'll be in Montreal this weekend covering the Montreal Impact versus Toronto FC game, so check out sportsnet.ca for my regular reports. And just a reminder that Sportsnet will have live coverage of 5 Premier League games this weekend, including Liverpool versus Manchester United from Anfield and Arsenal versus Swansea City, featuring American Bob Bradley's coaching debut in charge of the Swans. You can go to sportsnet.ca and consult the broadcast schedule for more details. And just a reminder that James Sharman, Thomas Dobby, and Brendan Dunlap will be back on the Soccer Central podcast on Monday to review the Premier League weekend. Until then, cheers for listening.